passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternative solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. How much money is there in the world? Is there plenty to go round? Is there as much real money as there are deposits in the bank? Chris Gilchrist is founder of the Money Challenge.
Physically, there isn't actually that much, but the physical amount of money isn't really the point, because money is no longer created as a physical thing. Money now is created as credit. That's what our system does. It creates money as credit, and then occasionally it manifests as notes. But most of the time, it doesn't. It stays electronic. It doesn't stop it being money. The way it works, I mean, if you just imagine this, someone walking into a bank and depositing £100, the bank's going to lend, let's say £90 of that, keep a little bit back to a customer who needs a loan. Customer who takes the loan out, well, he's going to spend it, but until he spends it, what's he going to do? Put it in a bank. Another bank has now got a £90 deposit. That bank will lend, say, £80 to another customer. That customer will put that £80 in a bank. The bank will lend £70, and so it goes on. And that chain of credit creation basically takes the original £100 and turns it into about £750. Now, it's credit, but it's also money, because people can take it out of the bank and spend it. So that's how you end up with this astronomical amount of money when you add up all the money in all the bank accounts across the world. An inconceivably enormous amount of money, far, far, far bigger than the amount of physical money in the world.
Now, that seems fine, providing we're not drawing on that money. So how does that work?
Well, the theory, of course, is that everybody does pay the loans back. And so long as that happens, then it's all right. I mean, it isn't all right if everyone goes to the bank on the same day and says they want their money back, because there's never enough money for everyone to have their money back at the same time. And hence you get bank runs, the Northern Rock scenario, if everybody loses faith. But behind all the banks is sitting a grandfather bank, the central bank. And if everybody comes to you, the Bank of Chantal, and says, give me my money back, and you say, sorry, I haven't got it, but I'll scurry off to the Bank of England and say to the Bank of England, please lend me some money until all my customers pay me back on their loans, and I can use that to pay my depositors. And that's essentially how our banking system works. And it works so long as people pay the loans back. Of course, where it falls down is if people don't. And that's kind of where we are now.
And how can you then, as a bank, ensure that people do pay those loans back?
With difficulty, especially if property prices or the price you've lent against the value of an asset and the value of the asset is falling. Now, bankers will tell you that they don't really lend against physical security. They take, you know, mortgages, they take pledges against your assets. In reality, banks always lend against the power to generate income, because they want income to first of all pay the interest and then pay the capital. So regardless of whether you think, oh, I've got this wonderful house and I'm surely the bank will lend against it, what they're really lending against is your ability to earn income, out of which you will first of all pay interest and secondly repay them their capital. And so long as you do that, that's fine. But when property prices crash, asset prices crash, and you lose your job, guess what? You're not going to pay the loan back. So that's when it all goes wrong.
It also seems like the reality of it is, if that £100 created around about 750-ish, then actually it's impossible for everybody who's had part a piece of that 100 to pay it all back, because actually there wasn't 750 there in the first place.
Yes, that is part of the fiction. And of course, what happens is that at any period of time, a certain percentage of loans are in default. And that's even in good times. In bad times, the percentage of loans that aren't being repaid and basically the banks are writing them off goes up. So there's always a certain amount of that being eliminated from the system. But against that, you've got the phenomenon of interest, which of course is adding to the amount of money in existence, you know, potentially without any limit. The problem with that is that it's completely artificial and bears no resemblance to reality. The one example that I like is imagining that Judas Iscariot sold Jesus for his 30 pieces of silver, and he put one of these pieces of silver, which happened to be worth £1, in a bank account in the year zero. Well, today, the inheritance of Judas Iscariot, if they happen to be around, would have an amount of money so large that I can't recite it because it's got so many noughts after it, but it is roughly equivalent to an amount of gold at current value several times the size of the earth. In other words, it is unreal. It is simply impossible for people to accumulate as much money as that by accumulating interest. So it's a fiction. What that means is that occasionally you have to have one of two things that remove the money from the system. Inflation, which makes it worth less, or crunches and crashes, which basically wipe out the debt.
If we actually don't have as much money in the world as we think we have, and we can't keep creating this pretend money through interest, what do we do?
we have to change the system. And the guys who are really working on this, the green economists, are basically saying you've got to align the world of money with the world of nature. Because at the moment, you treat all the kind of inputs to the system, all the goods, all the trees, all the food, all the ocean, everything, as having a zero cost. Well, you have to change that so that the world of nature itself is aligned with the money system and they're not, as it were, in conflict with each other and completely opposed to each other. That will probably mean completely changing the concept of interest at some point so that it bears some relationship to what's going on in the natural world rather than being simply a human fiction.
That's Chris Gilchrist, founder of The Money Challenge.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.